live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Woo! It's up!
Turks, Jake here, Annika Sparing with you guys. We decided that we're going to do a show today. We had a discussion earlier, and you know, I tell you, oh, great show, unbelievable show a lot of times. This one, just a show. How's that for honest? The most ridiculously honest show in America.
There will be spicy takes, though.
Of course. Hot cakes and hot takes all night long. All right, anyways, let's get started.
Well, this is a story that just reinforces what I covered last Wednesday in regard to the Federal Reserve having zero interest in regulating the banking system. So let's talk about it.
This whole tranche of banks has been underregulated for 5 years now. And yeah, people are very concerned about, when you lift the hood, what's under the hood, since the regulators clearly have not been on top of their job.
You lift the hood and you find a jalopy. And that's what Senator Elizabeth Warren is concerned about. While she was speaking on CBS News, Face the Nation, of course, she brought up the specific issues in regard to deregulation of mid-sized banks, while also talking about the lack of regulation and oversight coming from the Federal Reserve. In fact, in a new piece in the New York Times, there is some evidence that the Federal Reserve knew that Silicon Valley Bank in particular was in trouble for over a year before its collapse, but did very little about it. Now, in 2021, a Fed review of the growing bank found serious weaknesses in how it was handling key risks. Supervisors at the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, which oversaw Silicon Valley Bank, issued 6 citations. Those warnings, known as matters requiring attention and matters requiring immediate attention, flagged that the firm was doing a bad job of ensuring that it would have enough easy to tap cash on hand in the event of trouble. Now, in the lead up to the 2018 deregulation of mid-sized banks, the argument was that, well, just we don't need government oversight. We can just rely on the Fed to do the oversight. But at the time, Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, made it clear that he actually had no interest in regulation or oversight. In fact, wanted to pull back on regulation and oversight. So Congress did the deregulation knowing full well that there would be no cops on the beat when it came to mismanagement of funds at mid-sized banks like Silicon Valley Bank. And the bank, of course, didn't fix its vulnerabilities even after being notified by the Federal Reserve. I mean, they essentially got a few letters and they're like, yeah, whatever. By July of 2022, Silicon Valley Bank was in full supervisory review, getting a more careful look, and was ultimately rated deficient for governance and controls. It was placed under a set of restrictions that prevented it from growing through acquisition. So, whoa, you're not allowed to merge with another bank. Very naughty. You've been very, very bad, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so look, guys, let's just time tell you how the game's actually played. So when they're deregulating, everybody says, oh no, everything's gonna be fine, fine. So you remember they deregulated banks under $250 billion. Again, the Silicon Valley Bank is in that group, and they said everything's gonna be totally fine, everything's no exceptions, no nothing, everything's fine. Then when something inevitably blows up, and like the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, us, Naomi Prince, etc., we're right all along, the deregulation was a disaster and it led to a collapse, right? They then turn around and go, well, I mean, everybody saw this coming, and they look at the regulators, they had all these warnings and stuff. And so, well, then you think, wait a minute, first you said nobody can see it coming, then you saw you say that everybody can see it coming. So what's the game that's being played here? The game is when you do an article like this at the New York Times after the collapse, you're trying to show that it's an exception to the rule. Oh, it turns out with Silicon Valley Bank, not the other banks, not deregulation, but at Silicon Valley Bank, they had a bunch of notices and the Federal Reserve was about to work on it. But hey, look, let's hold them accountable. They didn't act quickly enough, etc. No, it's not an exception. Deregulation screws things up almost every time for these colossal companies.
Yeah, let me jump in there real quick, because let's also just be absolutely clear about the fact that we elect members of Congress, and the whole point of government, the whole point of government, I think what everyone can agree on, is to keep people safe. Safe from corporate greed, safe from risky maneuvers by banks, safe from any type of national security threat. We didn't elect members of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve was not originally created to regulate the banking system. So like the idea that, oh, Congress can just deregulate, and Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, who is a big fan of deregulation and loves to loosen, you know, any type of restrictions when it comes to the banking system, the idea that that guy is gonna do the appropriate oversight is ridiculous. And they knew that, they knew that. The banks knew that, which is why they went along with this whole charade in the first place.
Okay, can I just prove it with beyond a shadow of a doubt here? So do you know the San Francisco Board of Reserve, Federal Reserve Board in San Francisco is supposed to regulate Silicon Valley Bank because it's in its region, okay? Do you wanna know who was on the board of the San Francisco Federal Reserve? Greg Becker, the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank.
It's amazing, it's amazing.
So he chose not to regulate himself.
Interesting.
Of course, right? But like when progressives point out, hey, these bankers regulate themselves through the Federal Reserve, no one got elected, this is absurd. And forget that no one got elected, these are literally the banks on the boards, including the major banks in New York are on the board of the Federal Reserve overall. In New York, the most important one, right? It's absurd that they would regulate. Of course they allow for maximum risk to make maximum profit in the short term, and if it blows up later, that's your goddamn problem, not their problem. They already took the money home. Now, do you see that in the press all the time? Of course not, because this is, look, the next time there's a conversation about regulation and deregulation, come back to the Young Turks. We'll show you, everybody will tell you, oh no, there won't be any problems at all when we deregulate. And after it blows up, they'll go, oh, nobody could have seen this coming. But actually this one was, everybody could have seen coming because it was the exception. It's never the exception, it's definitely the rule. All these folks that are in giant corporate interests are lying to you. That's just the reality of it.
Now, just to buttress Cenk's point, in fact, reinforce his point, why don't we go to the conversation that Senator Warren had with Margaret Brennan over at Face the Nation? Because that conversation was incredible, it really was. How dismissive she was, and I'm talking about the host here, of the impact that deregulation had on the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. So let's take a look at one portion of that conversation right now.
The reason that I'm calling right now for changes in the Fed in its regulatory approach and changes in Congress so that we roll back the authorization to lighten those regulations.
Well, I know there's some dispute on the regulation. You're talking about a tweak in 2018 to Dodd-Frank, and I know Barney Frank, one of the authors of that original regulation, is a dispute with you in regard to what actually happened here. But I want to talk about the now.
I wouldn't call it a tweak.
Well, Senator, though, I want to ask you about what Congress can do now, because it would be up to Congress to lift the FDIC insurance levels for those deposits above $250,000.
Now, get a load of that deflection, right? So Elizabeth Warren's there to talk about the impact that the 2018 deregulation had and how she wants to reverse that in the very least. Margaret Brennan, of course, brings up Barney Frank, who was one of the original architects of the incredibly weak sauce Dodd-Frank regulations following the 2008 collapse. What Brennan failed to mention is what Barney Frank has been up to since his career in, you know, Congress ended. What is he doing now, Cenk? Oh, that's right. He's a lobbyist who works on behalf of the banking sector. Weird.
Oh my God, that is such
weird. Weird that you wouldn't mention that, Margaret Brennan.
No, it's not just that, guys. Now that's two interviews in a row I've seen with Margaret Brennan. One with Bernie Sanders, one with Elizabeth Warren, where she was so dismissive of the guests. So I haven't watched all of her interviews, so fair is fair. But I'm gonna keep an eye on it, because my guess is, and we'll see if it's true or not, when corporate Democrats and corporate Republicans are on there, she's going to be incredibly genteel and polite, right? But Warren comes in here and goes, hey, maybe we should regulate the bank. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. She cut her off like 12 times in 6 minutes. It was incredible to watch. And she's so dismissive with progressives. She has this, like, the classic mainstream media sneer, like, oh, you guys want regulation? There's a tweak of a regulation, no big deal. Hey, 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 focus now, okay? What are we doing now? And it's like she wasn't driving towards how do we make sure that this doesn't happen again. She's just like chasing the news of the day with like, hey, what further tweaks are we gonna make? There's never a conversation in mainstream media about, hey, are we doing this all wrong? Is it right to have the bankers sit on the board of the institution that's supposed to regulate them? Isn't that insane, right? Because you cannot ask those questions on CBS. If you ask that question, you're gonna be in a world of trouble. All these corporate interests protect their own, and it's kind of disgusting to watch. Anyways, look, guys, bottom line is they will blame everyone in Silicon Valley Bank. They will pretend it's exception, and they won't fix a goddamn thing. That's my opinion. Go ahead.
They're not going to fix anything, so let's just be clear about that. So anyone who is nervous about where their money is, I mean, look, if you're under the FDIC insured limit of $250,000, you're gonna be fine. That money is guaranteed by the federal government. Anything above that, you're playing with fire, considering, I mean, this is gonna keep happening. If we're gonna keep these mid-sized banks deregulated, and if there's no cop on the beat checking to make sure, and not just checking to make sure that there isn't mismanagement, but actually enforcing actionable items to ensure that they right their wrongs, this is gonna keep happening, right? Which is why Margaret Brennan's focus in that interview wasn't on the regulations. It was on, should the FDIC increase the cap for depositors? Should they increase the cap? How much should they increase the cap by? No, how about we fix the system so it doesn't get to a point where the FDIC has to come in and make all these depositors whole because of mismanagement and risks taken by the banks? How about that?
So this, I agree 100%, and this requires a tiny bit of nuance, but understand the game that's being played. So do I agree that the cap should be raised from 250,000? Yes, I do, okay? Is that one of the things they're working on? Yes. By the way, is that likely to pass? Some sort of increase in the cap? Yes, that's a rare thing that is likely to pass. Why? Because not only does it protect the depositors and the citizens, that's why I agree with it, but it mainly also protects the banks. So then you don't have to regulate the banks, because you allow the government to be even a bigger backstop to the banks. Go ahead, banks, take even bigger risks so you can make even bigger profits. And if you collapse, don't worry, the government is gonna cover $1 million or 5 million or 10 million, as Elizabeth Warren talked about, when the banks collapse. The better route, you could do that, and I think you should do that, but the better route on top of that is also regulate so they don't take insane risks.
Right.
But they're never gonna do that because that's money and money that's funneled to corrupt politicians.
And that's exactly what Warren said later in the interview, where she's like, yes, I agree with exactly what you said. I agree with raising the FDIC insured limit. However, we need regulations, but it's very clear that there isn't much of an appetite for that type of conversation on Face the Nation, which is a shame. Finally, if you're not as concerned about your mid-sized bank collapsing, as you should be, in my opinion, you should be concerned about your data in the very least, because apparently, let's go to graphic 5 here. According to a person familiar with the matter, executives at the firm, Silicon Valley Bank, were told of cybersecurity problems both by internal employees and by the Fed, but ignored the concerns because they don't care. Anything that might cut into their profits, they're not gonna do anything about it unless they're forced to do something about it. And that's the thing, they're not forced to.
I'm gonna say one last time, guys. It isn't about greed. Everybody always says, oh, they got greedy. No, greed is built into the system. You have to maximize profit. So if those guys weren't greedy and took excessive risk and didn't ignore the Fed and the internal folks telling them there's massive problems, they would have been fired and replaced by other guys who would have been maximum greedy, because that's what the corporation demands. Look, I'm in business. Everyone in business demands maximum profit. You can't just say, hey, you know what? I'm only gonna make a little bit of profit. That's why the government has to be the cop on the beat that says, no, you're not allowed to do that, because that'll endanger the whole economy. It'll endanger the citizens. But whenever you say that, you get a roar back both by corrupt politicians and mainstream media saying, no, deregulation is gonna make us richer. I mean, it'll be perfectly fine. It'll be totally safe for everyone. No one could see it coming.
Well, why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll have a monster segment dedicated to the possibility of Donald Trump getting arrested, his incitements to more violence, and how some in the right wing have actually decided not to take the bait when it comes to incitements of violence. That and more coming up. Don't miss it.
Back on TYT, Jen Canana with you guys. Also, Chris Birch, a member on YouTube, gifted 5 memberships for other folks. So, Chris, a bit of an American hero as usual today. We appreciate it. Casper.
Well, let's get into this possible arrest of Donald Trump. It's a big story. Let's do it.
Law enforcement said they're ready for any possible unrest if that does happen.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, we have this video that we just got moments ago. This is the New York Police Department. They're installing security cameras on light posts that is outside the Manhattan Criminal Courthouse.
Authorities are preparing for potential outbreaks of violence following news that former President Donald Trump might get arrested and indicted in connection to the hush money payments that were paid to adult actress Stormy Daniels in the lead up to the 2016 presidential election. Now, when Trump heard of the news, he began riling up his supporters and encouraging them to not only get rowdy and violent on his behalf, but to protest. And he did that in multiple posts on social, Truth Social. We'll get to those comments in just a second, but let's back up and try to kind of figure out what this potential arrest could be about, when it's likely to happen, if it happens, and whether this is an open and shut case. Now, at the center of this case is the $130,000 that Donald Trump paid adult entertainer Stormy Daniels during the 2016 presidential election. They had met each other back in 2006 when Melania Trump was pregnant and engaged in a sexual rendezvous. Now, she had shared her story on 60 Minutes, and we knew the details about that. But apparently, Trump decided to pay her $130,000 to kind of keep that story under wraps so it wouldn't hurt him during the presidential election. At least that's the theory. Now, if Trump is eventually indicted, it will be for falsifying business records in the first degree, which, by the way, that alone is just a misdemeanor. But it becomes a felony if he falsified records in order to commit another crime. In order to elevate it to a felony, the defendant needs to have created the fake records with an intent to commit or conceal another crime. Here, it's unclear whether the Manhattan District Attorney's Office plans to argue that there's a second crime. If the grand jury does not vote in favor of prosecuting it as a felony, it could direct the prosecutor to file a misdemeanor case instead, and this could all just be a big nothing burger. But with all of that said, Donald Trump has completely lost it and is trying to get his supporters to protest, which is why authorities in Manhattan are preparing for it with metal barricades and with surveillance cameras. So what do you think about this so far, Cenk?
Yeah, so this is political, but not in the way that the right wing thinks it is. So let me break it down. It took 5 years for the Manhattan DA's office to charge Donald Trump, who was a co-conspirator of Michael Cohen, after they charged him, convicted him, and sent him to prison. Mm-hmm. So what they wait around 5 years for, this is the one case that I was saying all along is open and shut. There's no question that he paid the hush money, it was a violation of campaign finance laws, and they falsified the records. There's overwhelming evidence to that effect, and they already convicted his co-conspirator, right? They waited around for permission from both Democratic and Republican establishment figures.
Bingo.
Because Republicans don't give a damn about Democratic establishment, but they do care about their own donors. They wait for permission from their own donors. Democrats wait for permission from their donors and Republican donors. And so finally, Alvin Bragg got that permission when the Koch brothers, Murdoch, and everybody else turned on Trump. So he's now like, oh, I've been waiting. Oh, I have permission, I'm gonna go forward now. Now
that's your take on it, right? Like, yeah, obviously you don't know for sure, but I think that your take on it is absolutely correct. I don't know if it has to do with donors. I think it has more to do with the political appetite on both sides.
100%.
The political appetite among establishment politicians on both sides to finish Trump.
Yeah, I don't want you to mistake what I'm saying. Anna's absolutely right. It's not like Alvin Bragg is gonna get paid by Republican and Democratic donors for this.
Yeah.
It's groupthink. It's conventional wisdom. But for Democrats, they're the cowards and the weaklings in this play that you see, the national theater of politics. And so they wait for permission in the groupthink of like, oh, Republicans also agree. Okay, finally we can do something, right? And so that's why Bragg didn't do anything for all this time, and neither did his predecessor. So now what is the play here? What are they gonna do? Are they gonna finally actually indict him? Yes, it looks like they're gonna finally indict him, right? Is he going to actually go to prison? No way.
Yeah.
No, because this is political. They're trying to hurt his chances, right? And distract him and smear him, etc. Now the thing is, the right wing's thinking, what do you mean? That's exactly what we think. No, guys, he actually did do it. The real problem is that there's no equality here. If you had done it, you'd have gone to prison 5 years ago. How do I know? Michael Cohen, relatively regular guy, went to prison for five years ago.
Yeah.
Right? There's no question about it. They cover for the elites, and Trump is part of the elites. But now that the elites have turned on Trump, they're saying, okay, you can prosecute him like a regular person.
Yeah, exactly. The difference here is that for the first time, in my opinion, and I think in your opinion as well, you have the Republican establishment playing along with it, even though you might see on media, you know, in the news, whatever, Twitter, social media.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
They're pretending like they're so outraged by this, but it's really important to understand the Republican establishment always hated Donald Trump, but they were terrified of his base. Now they think they can manufacture a situation in which, and I think in their minds, they genuinely think like, no, Trump is losing it. He's losing support among his base. Now is the time that we try to finish him. I think that's really behind it. And if you watch the reporting on this, whether it's cable news, network news, if you read the reporting on it, all the reporters are like, we don't know where this came from. You know, we're trying to figure that out. We're still trying to crack that nut, trying to figure out why Alvin Bragg has decided to really aggressively pursue this all of a sudden. The political landscape has changed a little bit in regard to Donald Trump and the way the Republican establishment feels about him. Now, remember, people have already faced some pretty serious consequences for the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. And of course, the argument is that the $130,000 was essentially a campaign contribution in violation of campaign finance laws. Now, in August of 2018, Michael Cohen, Trump's personal lawyer at the time, pleaded guilty to 8 charges of tax evasion, fraud, and campaign finance violations in connection to his payments to Daniels and Karen McDougal. She was another woman who had sexual relations with Trump, and they killed her story before it could be published in the National Enquirer. And during his guilty plea, Michael Cohen says in federal court, he was directed to violate campaign law at the direction of an unnamed candidate. Gee, I wonder who that was. That same candidate directed him to pay $130,000 in hush money, which the candidate later reimbursed. He is sentenced to 3 years in prison after he was found guilty and after he pleaded guilty. Now let's get to Trump, because he's encouraging people to protest. So, in his first Truth Social post, he wrote this. Now illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan District Attorney's office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that with no crime being able to be proven and based on an old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors, none of this is true, by the way, fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week, meaning Tuesday of this week. Protest, take our nation back. In subsequent Truth Social posts, he said something similar, basically protest, protest, take to the streets. And that's a call to his supporters to do something similar to what they did on January 6th. Let's keep it real, right?
Yeah. So look, on the Trump protest angle, first of all, there's nothing wrong with protesting. And if he was just asking people to go and peacefully protest, there'd be no problem at all. Number one, the context is we already know that the last time he asked people to protest, they broke down the doors, somebody got shot, cops got killed, etc. He knows that context as well as we do. And remember, during that time, he was very happy that they were doing it, including chanting about murdering his vice president. His own chief of staff said he was totally fine with it. So that's an important piece of context. The other thing is, as you read those deranged posts on True Social, it to me, and I know, like, when we get into race, everybody catches feelings, right? But it kind of read like a call to the Klan. And the reason why I say that in this context is because he's constantly like, oh, and then other people get to do anything they want in the streets, and they riot and they do this, and you know, and there's no retribution. And he's calling for retribution against the others. And it's interesting because he's not just talking about his case. He's constantly referring to how the others are going to ruin America. How that you got to do something and you got to give them retribution before they touch their beloved leader, etc. And when you read it in that context, you're like, oh yeah, he's barely even talking about his own case. He's mainly trying to attack the libs.
Because he's incredibly, I know you're going to hate to hear this, and everyone's going to get upset because they think I'm in favor of what he's doing. I'm not, but this is what he does, and it's actually pretty smart messaging, right? Because what he's doing is exploiting the frustrations that people might be feeling in Manhattan or other big cities as a result of increasing crime. And he's saying like, oh, look at them coming after me over this old thing that didn't go anywhere years ago when it was first reported, but they're letting all this other crime happen, right? He's doing it, yes, to stir up hatred, to stir up anger. That's what he does, and he does it well.
Yeah, and so part of what he's referring to is, you know, when there was the Black Lives Matter protests, and you know, some buildings got burned, etc. For white Republicans, that was an enormously triggering event. They wanted massive retribution for what happened there, and so that was, I think, is also related to January 6th. But bottom line here is, look. He's getting to use the establishment not getting permission to prosecute a member of the elite for 5 years against them. You say, why did they wait 5 years?
Yep.
Well, there's all this crime, and now all of a sudden they do it 5 years later. Because they were waiting for goddamn permission to prosecute someone who is clearly a criminal.
There's no winner here.
Because they didn't give him. Look, guys, look, think about what Anna said about the reporters. What the reporters should have been asking all along is for the Manhattan DA's office and screaming it. You just put away his co-conspirator. We all know that. No one denies that. Mm-hmm. So why aren't you going after the co-conspirator, Donald Trump? It's a massive and obvious violation of the law. The reason they don't is because he was untouchable, because he was part of the establishment. And the elites never, ever, ever face justice, right? So anyway, this is all a charade. Look here, just real quick, to give you a sense of what I keep saying that it's so obvious. Michael Cohen gives the money to the National Enquirer, who gave the money to Stormy Daniels and the other lady, okay?
Karen McDougal.
Karen McDougal. And then he goes back to the Trump organization and goes, okay, now give me the money.
Reimburse me.
Yeah. And so he gave them $130,000, but there's other expenses got to about $180,000, right? So they're like, okay, we gotta take into effect the taxes, because Michael Cohen's illegally paying her with his money. And then when he gets income, he has to pay taxes on it. So they double it, and then they give a $60,000 bonus on top for a crime well done. This is a Trump organization.
Was it well done?
Okay, apparently not. So then he got $420,000 to reimburse him for the payment, right? So the Trump organization is then clearly giving an illegal campaign donation to Donald Trump and lying about it, saying that it was a retainer fee for Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen, the person who received it, now says, oh yeah, we were definitely lying. It was not for a retainer.
Right.
It was to cover up this problem on the campaign. And so there's no question he did it. And that's what's so frustrating about the establishment and their love for the elites, and that how they're above the law. And that's why at the end of the day, they're gonna try to hurt him in this election.
It's
but he's still
work.
Among the elites. They're never gonna put a person who's in the elites in jail. That's never gonna happen.
Like, it's so obvious to everyone with a pulse that this is politically motivated. At this point, at this late juncture, like, it's obvious that it's political. And so you have all these different people coming out. Senator Lindsey Graham, can't believe I agree with him, but I do agree with him. I think this is gonna help Trump. I don't think it's gonna hurt him politically.
Yeah, I don't care what it does politically.
Yeah.
The reason I'm in favor of it, even though it's this late and it's obviously political and blah, 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 and all the things that we've said, is I want somebody to enforce the law equally for the first time in my life in America. The only rich people who ever get convicted are people who stole from other rich people.
Exactly.
You try to defraud or steal money from Goldman Sachs and you're going to jail. And you're going to jail for a long time. You rob regular Americans, you're celebrated. So this is, you know, this is a 100% violation of the law. I want him to get arrested. I want him to face justice. And you know, maybe once they goes to the jury, maybe there's nothing they could do. But that's really wishful thinking.
Well, let's move on to the fun part of this story, because there is a fun part, and it involves, of course, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Governor Ron DeSantis's initial silence over the weekend in response to the possibility of Trump getting arrested led to a lot of right-wing pressure for the Florida governor to say something, to do something, to protect Daddy Trump. Now, he finally reacted today, and man, it is a doozy. But before we get to that video, here's how the pressure was applied on Governor Ron DeSantis. Jason Miller tweeted the following: thank you, Vice President Mike Pence and Vivek Ramaswamy, for pointing out how radical left Democrats are trying to divide our country in the name of partisan politics. And then he writes, radio silence from Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley. Okay, so it starts off that way. Then you've got Mr. Alpha Male Sebastian Gorka, who says, so is DeSantis going to say anything? When are you gonna protect Daddy? When are you gonna protect him? The alpha males are back. Then you have others, you know, there's pressures. You have Cernovich who, you know, took it a step further and actually wrote what Ron DeSantis should say. Like, here's a script, just say this. Okay, I will not extradite a presidential candidate to a Soros DA who allows violent criminals to roam free until there has been a proper legal review conducted under Florida law. If lawful, then extradition may occur, but not one day sooner. It's all pretty hilarious. And then finally, a guy named Stu Peters says, if Ron DeSantis is the conservative hero he projects himself to be. He should refuse to honor the arrest warrant for president in exile Trump and send the Florida National Guard to Mar-a-Lago to ensure Trump's protection, period. Anything less proves DeSantis is a fraud. Now, finally today, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis responded to the story about Donald Trump potentially getting arrested and indicted soon. And here's what that looked like.
I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda.
I mean, I don't know anything about getting my D wet when my wife's pregnant and then paying hush money payments. I know nothing about that. I know nothing about that disgusting pervert who's, you know, messing around on his pregnant wife. But I will say Alvin Bragg, Soros funded, yada, yada, typical right wing talking points.
Yeah, so before I break down the politics of the right wing reaction, let's have fun. To be clear, Donald Trump did not sleep with, as far as we know, McDougal or Stormy Daniels until after Melania had delivered. So a couple months after he delivered.
Oh, interesting. I thought that she was pregnant when he slept with Stormy Daniels. Good
and
correction.
I'll tell you why. Okay. So she delivers, and apparently at that point they are not having relations. So he immediately goes to McDougal a couple months later.
Classic
and then
guy.
A couple months later he goes to Stormy Daniels because, I mean, Melania's probably in bed taking care of their baby. So he's got to go get laid elsewhere. While she was pregnant, he sexually assaulted a reporter from People magazine while she was in the building.
Allegedly.
With Melania. Allegedly, it's the reporter saying, yeah, I went to go interview them. Melania's super pregnant. We go to the other room and he grabs me, just like he describes in the famous Access Hollywood.
No, I know. I'm saying allegedly because he hasn't been convicted of it, and we just have to cover our bases.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Let me just tell you, super believable story.
Yes.
Dozens of people have had similar stories about Trump. So imagine that, guys. Imagine that. If you're a woman, you're pregnant, and your husband is grabbing at other women who is just interviewing you guys, and then thinks, she already had the baby. I'm gonna go sleep with porn stars. Okay, anyway, that's who Donald Trump is. Just understand that, and that's why DeSantis taking that shot. I loved it.
I thought that was great. Finally, yeah. DeSantis grows a set. Like,
yeah,
you know.
But again, it was still a slight jab. It was a good jab.
It was a pretty big jab.
You know what Donald Trump would have said? Donald Trump would have said, "Listen." If DeSantis had done the porn star thing, the baby's barely out, and here comes Meatball, and he's got to get a porn star. He didn't even use a condom. What's he doing? It's outrageous. I wouldn't do it. Would you do it? Would you do it to your poor, poor wife? Okay, but that's what DeSantis was like subtle. Like,
no, I know, but right? You can't compare DeSantis to Trump when it comes to that type of communication. Like, Trump's a bull in a china shop. He doesn't care. He just says it, right? Whereas Ron DeSantis is trying to be cute. He's trying to be clever. He's trying to be subtle. But for relative to previous DeSantis jabs at Trump, this was the best.
Yeah, so we're going to get to Steve Bannon's reaction to DeSantis, which is awesome. But so now the politics of it. So look, Gorka and Miller are huge Trump loyalists. So of course they're going to hit DeSantis on this and say, you better back the big guy. Otherwise, you know, the base will turn on you. Guys like Stu Peters are just knucklehead MAGA guys who are just genuinely like, let's go fight. Let's go make sure that there's violence if they come after the dear leader. Total utter knucklehead. Cernovich is the interesting one because he's actually backing DeSantis. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the Republicans who are now backing DeSantis are playing this game, this dance. They're like, DeSantis should say, I will not extradite, as if as if Russia or Bahamas or you know, France is asking for him. No, it's of course you said Florida sends it to New York if New York is looking for a criminal that they just indicted, right? But when I say I will not extradite, because they're telling DeSantis how to play the base. Remember, the base likes Donald Trump. So you have to baby him a little bit and say you're protecting him, but then actually hit him with these jabs.
Yeah.
So you see it very clearly in the guys who are trying to nudge Trump out while not appearing to nudge Trump out.
So there were Trump loyalists who, of course, did not take kindly to Ron DeSantis's response to this whole mess. And two of those individuals were Steve Bannon and Mike Lindell. Enjoy.
Governor DeSantis, you're better than this. That was a weasel approach. And don't give me the don't throw anything about the porn star. I don't need to hear it from you. Okay, don't need to hear it. Okay, Mike Lindell, the Election Crime Bureau report, sir.
Well, first of all, DeSantis is the Trojan horse we thought he was. I just want to put that out there, how disgusting he is. He remember, everybody, he met with Dominion lawyers on figuring out a way to make it easier to sue people for defamation like MyPillow and Mike Lindell. If they arrest our great president, Donald Trump, hands down, he wins the 2024 election.
You know, for all the Republicans out there, you cheer for the circus. Sometimes the circus is going to come to your home. That's what you're watching right there. Now, yeah, all of a sudden, Ron DeSantis, he's mingling with Dominion lawyers and like all these other accusations. Oh, it's delicious. It's delicious.
Yeah, so I get two things out of it. First of all, I like Steve Bannon being like, I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear it.
Not from you, buddy. Okay, not from you.
You know what that means? That means shush. Of course, all of us Republicans are dirtbags. We don't talk about how other Republicans are dirtbags because we're all dirtbags. Steve Bannon stole from his own supporters just like Donald Trump did, right? And then he had to get pardoned by Donald Trump for that same theft. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't need to hear it. Don't tell the audience. Don't tell right wingers what criminals we are, right? But what's super interesting is that most Republicans agree with Mike Lindell when he says, if you arrest them, Trump is more likely to win.
Yeah.
You know why? Republican voters like criminals.
And no, I don't think that's what it is. Like, come on, just be fair, Jake. It's not because they love, because
America,
you're being ridiculous. No, you're not being fair. You're being purposely inflammatory and ridiculous. No, what they will, they'll see Trump as like some sort of victim, right?
Yes.
As someone who's being targeted politically, poor guy, we got to stick up for him.
No, but Anna, we're saying the same thing. So let me explain.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. Because yes, if you ask the right winger, they will say, no, he's being set up politically and this is outrageous and he's the victim. But they never address the actual substance. They never say, oh, he didn't pay the hush money. No, he didn't sleep with Stormy Daniels. It isn't a campaign finance violation or on any of the laws that he's broken. They have 1,000 excuses. The reality is they don't care that he's a criminal because he owns the libs. So they're like, okay, you want to steal from us, Steve Bannon? You want to, by the way, okay, Donald Trump, you want to take hundreds of millions of dollars from us and not give 1 cent to the January 6th defendants? We don't mind. Okay, so I'll amend from they like criminals to they don't mind criminals at all, as long as they're criminals on their side.
Okay, so you think 100% of Republican supporters of Donald Trump's all know that he committed crimes and they purposely are not addressing it,
okay,
and they don't care. Seriously.
No, you're doing an exaggeration. You're saying 100%. I didn't say 100%.
But
the great majority.
You generalized. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
I will generalize. Okay. Look, guys, here. Al Franken does a kidding photo with somebody and the Democrats immediately get rid of him, throw him under the bus. The slightest infraction for a Democrat and you're gone. All the Democrats will hate you and throw you overboard. Republicans are like, oh, I committed this crime, I committed that crime, I committed this crime. And each time, most Republican voters go, oh, I didn't see it. Oh, no, victim. Steal from me. Sure, go ahead, steal from me. Victim. You can commit almost any crime as a Republican. As long as you own the libs, the MAGA base will love you.
Do you remember what the coverage was like on right-wing outlets as Trump was getting impeached the first time? First time he got impeached. When he engaged in a quid pro quo, withheld congressionally appropriated military funding from Ukraine, unless Zelensky announced some sham investigation into Biden in order to hurt Biden's chances of getting elected in 2020. Do you remember that? Okay. Do you think right-wing media was actually reporting the facts of that impeachment trial?
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying, Anna. So they're partly only see the propaganda.
Do I think some
and they
of
believe
them?
The propaganda.
Yes.
But at the same time,
but Anna, do I think
no,
some
Anna,
of them?
Come on, hold on.
Okay.
If a Democrat had slept with a porn star a couple of months after their wife delivered and then paid hush money and in violation of campaign finance laws, what do you think Republicans would say?
Well,
Republicans would say, kill him, drive him out of politics, we hate him, right? Trump says, oh no, it's totally fine.
My point to you, Cenk, well, first of all, right-wing media would be talking about that incessantly. That's all they would be talking about. And yeah, they would believe it because right-wing media would be covering it constantly. The argument that I'm trying to make is you don't know what's in the heads of every single Trump supporter. So when you generalize like
yes,
that.
Yes, no, no, I hear what you're saying.
Let me say it this way. I would hate if the right wing generalized about every progressive and said, oh, progressives absolutely love crime. They can't get enough of it. Look at
but
all these.
But Anna, you think they don't? They do that 24/7, 200%.
They do that. Yeah.
Okay,
and it's
so
not true.
What am I crying about generalizing correctly
but it's
about
not
them?
True.
Correctly?
Okay.
Okay, all look, right. guys, look, yes, I get it. Right, I'm the guy who says all the time, right-wing media lies to the right-wing voters, and the right-wing voters don't actually have real information. So Anna is totally right about that. At the same time, the reason right-wing media lies to them is because the audience wants to be lied to. You just saw it in the Fox News material in the Dominion lawsuit. They're like, well, we're so afraid of our audience, so hurry up and lie. Hurry up and lie. They love the lies. They love the lies. You think they couldn't figure it out? If a Democrat did the same exact thing, they'd have figured it out.
We got to take a break. When we come back, maybe we can get to Trump's reaction to Ron DeSantis. We'll see if we have time for that. But let's take a break. We'll come right back.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna, and also Paul Gennardi. He just became a member by hitting the join button below the video on YouTube. We appreciate it. Everybody else, you can do tyt.com/join. Come do the show with us, Casper.
Let's do it.
I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda.
That was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's reaction to headlines indicating that there is some possibility that Donald Trump could be arrested and indicted in charges tied to hush money payments that were paid to Stormy Daniels in the lead up to the 2016 presidential election. The argument is that it was an illegal campaign contribution and he is potentially facing charges as a result of that. Now, anyone with a pulse can notice that Ron DeSantis started off that statement with a bit of a jab toward Trump. And look at that, Trump apparently has a pulse because he didn't like that reaction. He wrote on Truth Social, Ron DeSanctimonious will probably find out about false accusations and fake stories sometime in the future as he gets older, wiser, and better known. When he's unfairly and illegally attacked by a woman, even classmates that are underage or possibly a man, I'm sure he will want to fight these misfits just like I do. So he also quote truthed a Midas Touch post that apparently said that Ron DeSantis had partied with underage girls and was drinking while he was a teacher at a Georgia school. That was something that Donald Trump also attacked him on earlier. We had done a story on that as well. But it's clear here that he's trying to imply that Ron DeSantis is, you know, messing around with underage girls, is possibly gay, but is hiding it. Now, none of that stuff is true as far as we know, but it doesn't matter. If you jab Trump, he's gonna come at you 10 times harder, and that's what he did here.
Yeah, so look, constantly Ron DeSantis is using a pea shooter or a BB gun, and Trump pulls out a bazooka. And launches. So the DeSantis jab in the normal political world was a pretty good one. Got chuckles, people are talking about it, it's got headlines. But then Trump comes back with, I think you might be a pedophile and gay. Okay, now, if a Democrat did that, they'd be instantly eliminated and they would have no credibility, etc. And the Democrats themselves would hate him, right? When a Republican does it, they're like, we'll see, right? The base might love it and think that's it. I knew it, DeSantis is a rhino pedophile groomer. And groomer is a word that Trump used before in relationship to Ron DeSantis, using the same picture when he was a teacher, etc. I'm curious to see what Republicans are gonna do. They've never needed evidence before. So are they gonna need evidence that DeSantis did any of these things? That DeSantis is gay? I mean, and slept with underage girls. They need it. They've never needed evidence. So maybe they'll believe it right away. But it's a Republican, so they might not believe it right away. I'm not sure.
One thing that's been pretty clear to me so far, and I could be wrong or things could change, is it doesn't seem like the Republican base, meaning the ordinary voters, ever really abandoned Trump. They've always been pretty hardcore supporters of Trump. They've been loyal to him. The only change I've seen in the political landscape is the elites or the Republican establishment has kind of moved away from Trump. So that's what I find kind of interesting about this entire debacle, this entire drama playing out between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. But there was also an interesting reaction to Trump wanting his supporters to go out there and protest against the Manhattan District Attorney potentially arresting Trump for the hush money payments. For instance, when he was encouraging people to protest, Marjorie Greene tweeted about this and said, no, we don't need to protest about the communist Democrats planning to arrest President Trump and the political weaponization of our government and election interference. These idiots are sealing their own fate in 2024 because the silent majority has two feelings right now about the current regime. I'm guessing she's referring to Biden.
Yep.
Fear and anger, that is the most powerful combination when election time comes, and the Democrats are driving that force with their own corrupt actions. So she's trying to discourage people from doing anything stupid and crazy, but she's not the only one. You know, Ali Alexander, who was one of the organizers of the riots that took place on January 6th, also discouraged people from protesting and specifically pointed out the fact, let's go to graphic 9 here. I love Trump. Stop the Steal will not be physically protesting, meaning we're not gonna protest Trump potentially getting arrested. We decline. We'll be focused on the 1,000 plus families still suffering post January 6th. And you also have Jesse Kelly, who argued the last time Trump's biggest fans protested on his behalf, he left them all to rot in jail without so much as a penny from him in legal fees, not a penny. Shame on him for this. Do not go to a blue area and protest for this man. Ignore this.
Yeah, so those last two were very accurate. I certainly don't agree with those guys on anything else, but it's absolutely true. Donald Trump raised hundreds of millions of dollars for legal defense and never spent a dime on any of the January 6th rioters. He says that they're patriots, they're political prisoners. He talked about it in this context too, like, oh, they're gonna, you know, I can't believe nobody's sticking up for them. Well, why don't you stick up for them? Why don't you pay their legal defense the money that you raise? Because you're a crook. You're such an obvious crook, right? But no, it's not obvious to the right wing. So Marjorie Taylor Greene here, being the theoretically the calming voice, McCarthy did something similar. But listen to what she says there. She actually accidentally said one of the most true things in American politics. She said that the fear and anger, that is the most powerful combination when election time comes.
That's all they lean on for their campaigning. That's
exactly
all they do.
Exactly right, Anna. The only thing that Republicans ever use is fear and anger. Fear and anger. Be afraid and get really angry. Be afraid and get really angry. Now, that's why? Why do Republicans do that? Because they don't actually want to pass any laws that help you. So they have to get you to vote not for yourself, not something that's going to help you and your family. So they have to create fear and anger towards others, so you vote against them.
That's why wokeism is a centerpiece of everything they do, right? What project are they offering to voters, to their supporters, to actually improve their lives? All they do is instill fear. All they do is lie about things that are being done at school. It's all meant to scare voters into supporting them because they're the ones who are allegedly gonna protect them from the big bad scary CRT, the big bad scary drag queens or whatever it is that they're fear-mongering about at any given moment. But anyway, we'll see how this all plays out. It's just really interesting to see someone like Marjorie Greene of all people trying to like calm things down, turn the temperature down as Trump is trying to turn the temperature up and get people to take to the streets and protest his, you know, a potential upcoming arrest. All right, we got to take a break. That does it for the first hour. We're going to completely switch gears when we come back. There was a fascinating conversation between Chris Wallace and Eva Longoria in regard to the Latino vote. Why is it that a larger percentage of Latino voters have switched sides to vote for Republicans? We'll talk about that and more coming up. Don't miss it.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.